at least three high-ranking government officials were identified as having disclosed to reporters classified information about covert agent Valerie Wilson, where the account of one of them was directly contradicted by other witnesses, where there was reason to believe that some of the relevant activity may have been coordinated, and where there was an indication from Mr. Libby himself that his disclosures to the press...
This is the Quality News Network. In the West Bank, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert are meeting today to discuss the resumption of U.S. brokered Middle East peace talks. It's the first time an Israeli Prime Minister has visited a Palestinian community in more than 7 years. In Lebanon, a Syria-backed Christian party narrowly edged out the Western-backed party in parliamentary elections today. In Camp David, Afghan President Hamid Karzai is wrapping up 2 days of discussions with President Bush. The Taliban announced today the fate of 21 captive South Koreans is in the hands of Presidents Karzai and Bush. The UN says the Afghan poppy crop will set another record this year. The country provides 95% of the world's supply of heroin. In Tal Afar, Iraq, a suicide bomber blew up an explosive-laden dump truck in a crowded Shia neighborhood today, killing at least 28 and wounding another 50. 19 of the dead were children. 4 U.S. soldiers were killed in Baghdad over the weekend. A new video is being aired on the web threatening to target the diplomats and embassies of the U.S. and its allies worldwide. The video was produced by one of America's top members of Al-Qaeda, now in hiding in the Middle East. Yesterday, President Bush signed into law a rewrite of the Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act, expanding the government's authorization for warrantless wiretapping. On Capitol Hill, the House Saturday approved a controversial energy package levying $16 billion in taxes on the oil industry. Inspectors from the U.N.'s Nuclear Watchdog Agency are in Japan to examine the nuclear power plant that leaked radioactive materials following a major earthquake last month. In Japan, thousands gathered today in Hiroshima to commemorate the 62nd anniversary of the dropping of the atom bomb there. More than 250,000 were killed in the bombing, which was credited for helping to end World War II. The civil rights attorney who argued the landmark anti-discrimination Supreme Court case Brown versus the Board of Education has died. Oliver Hill was 100 years old. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hey, what's he doing?
What?
That guy's changing his oil in the street and letting it run right in the storm drain, which pollutes the bay. I totally wouldn't surf in that.
Dude, what can we do?
Call 1-800-CLEANUP to report anyone dumping oil, antifreeze, or paint in the street.
This way, fools like that can be fined.
Tell everyone to call 1-800-CLEANUP.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of The Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At The Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Humanitarian aid groups are calling for help to assist the 25 million or so South Asians left homeless in recent flooding. More than 1,400 have died in the worst monsoons to hit the region in nearly 50 years. Mass robbers yesterday afternoon stole millions of dollars worth of paintings and an armed holdup of the art museum in Nice on the French Riviera. The masterpieces stolen include those of Monet and Bruegel. Scientists have discovered that an overload of abnormal skin proteins cause rosacea, a skin disease that affects more than 14 million Americans. American Home Mortgage filed for bankruptcy today after having announced it will lay off 90% of its employees. The resignation yesterday of the chief of investment bank, Bear Stearns, is expected to affect Wall Street today. That bank is being hurt by mortgage credit problems. Chrysler announced it has selected its new boss, former Home Depot CEO Bob Nardelli. He will supervise the troubled automaker's restructuring plan, which includes elimination of more than 13,000 jobs in Canada and the U.S. Light sweet crude is trading at $74.39 a barrel. There's more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, oh my God. It's live. It's not a rerun. It's not Bob filling in. It's me. Oh my God, I have the internet back. I have just gone through the longest 3 weeks of my adult life. Can I tell you? This is just, like, unbelievable. I first of all, I can't even begin to tell you what an education it was to not have the internet. And to realize what an absolute addict I am. Gail and I sat here the first couple of nights just kind of looking at each other. Now, it was a minorly complicated thing because we were switching to this newfangled connection, and I'm hearing that it's really, really good going to the main studio. So that's part of the reason why we did this. So I've got a much nicer bit of pipage hooked up to the house, and you know, they actually had to go and physically, like, connect it. It wasn't just, you know, a digital flip of the computer switch. So anyway, to be without the internet was beyond torture for the first few days. And I just, you know, had to be calm and, you know, it was amazing. My laptop seemed to stay in its bag after work. Now, so I'm coming back to do the show tonight, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to go do research. And it's like I've almost forgotten how to surf. I was just like, screw it. I'm just gonna wing it because I got stuff. Oh, there's been plenty of stuff, and I know that I've been missing stuff, and I'll catch up on the stuff that I've missed. But while I was trapped in the bubble, which is access to only the mainstream media, we had this little situation with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Hanif, and this what a bad joke and an insult. Everyone's been waiting to see what Johnny Howard was going to do for this election. You know, he had the Tampa thing where he claimed, you know, boat people were throwing their children overboard, which was all a crock, but yet it ended up, you know, getting the knee-jerk reaction vote that he needed, and he did this other thing with interest rates in the last election, and that worked, even though it shouldn't have, and it didn't really mean anything, and da-da-da-da-da. So then this Hanif thing pops up. And I'm telling you, it got mighty, mighty fiery and hot down here for a little while. And I don't think that we've heard the end of it. But, some, shall we say, provocative moves were made by the executive in this country. And it brought on a divide like I haven't seen in a while. And Johnny Howard's terror laws didn't make any friends. It's been an interesting few weeks since I was last on air. The Australian broadcaster did its job of being the fourth estate, even when no one else will be. And throughout this whole affair, kept asking the real questions. You know, you're holding him on what? And, you know, there was some very provocative moves. And you know, all there was... The Australian people got hit with a huge bit of reality where they just said, look at, you know, this, okay, this is politics that just is beyond the pale. And I don't know, it's you know, you got balls, boy. Okay, Dr. Queensland, you know, while he's in the UK, has a SIM card for a phone. He leaves it with a cousin when he's leaving. It's no use to him once he goes back to Australia. It's reported being at one of these bombing locations in the UK, these boned up things. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's found miles away, so not used. But yet they're using this old data to hold him on, and it was just... There were leaks by the federal police to the media. And as the whole case looks like it's falling apart and is released on bail, the immigration minister steps in and puts the guy in detention and revokes his visa on grounds of a character test. He no longer passed the character test. Now this guy was, you know, a well-respected doctor. They hadn't proved anything against him. The case was so weak that the Department of Public Prosecutions let him out on bail over what they were holding him on. So if they thought he was of any risk, don't you think they would have, you know, held him with, you know, some sort of bond? You know, I mean, you know, just something would have happened. They would have brought more to the table. And then there was just this constant spoon feeding of just piecemeal garbage. And my favorite play of the whole thing is, so you've held this guy for like 4 weeks without charge, first making a big deal that the UK cops are coming over to investigate him, but as soon as his name comes up, it dissolves out. They have no interest in him. The UK cop basically lands in Australia, finds out who it is, turns heels, heads back, but yet they still hold him on the thing that the UK wants to talk to him. The UK couldn't have cared less. So he's allowed out on bail, so then you throw him into immigration detention. So then my favorite move is when the case finally completely falls apart against him in the Queensland court for these, you know, helping terrorism offenses, just as it falls apart, the Australian government gives him the ability to go home back to India or stay in a maximum security private immigration detention center while fighting over his visa being revoked or not. So he goes back to India, and our immigration minister says, see, he obviously was up to something. He went home. Well, of course he went home, you dumbass. Okay. You can go and see your baby that was just born, part of the reason that you were flying out. Now, he has admitted that he was getting out because he figured they were gonna connect him with this. You know, not forgetting the fact that he did actually contact authorities when this all went down because of his cousin. So this guy's gone back to India, and he's pissed off. He's very pissed off. But the Queensland Liberal Premier has... Not Liberal, Labour, sorry. Sorry, Peter Beattie. You know, has been saying, you know, if this was, you know, so well bloody handled, well, put your cards out on the table, you know, as far as the Australian Federal Police. It's the whole thing has been just an absolute joke of a scare campaign. And what's scary is that it seems to still work with some people. Okay, a friend's workplace. It's like, okay, how not to get in trouble. And some people of some surprising backgrounds saying things, you know, kind of like office thing, you know, saying, well, if they accused him, he must have done something. And it's just like, you know, you want to slam your head up against the wall. Someone referred to these people. These are the people who have have the curiosity of a expletive goldfish, and I tend to agree. But there's this. I'm amazed how well this still ends up working. However, this was handled so badly. Even their leaks came back to haunt them. There was a leak about the Australian Federal Police actually writing entries into this man's diary and then asking him questions about it, but that wasn't really true. It's the way, you know, this reporter really pulled out of context from these transcripts of interrogations and all this other stuff. And you know, it's showing the signs of a government over here who's pretty much on out who's on the run. They're on the run so much that someone leaked today some internal Liberal Party numbers, and their numbers say that the majority of Liberal voters think that John Howard is too old and dishonest. They think he's creepy and dodgy. And that's how we like it. So it's not looking good for the guy. But you know, this guy's been out just kind of like throwing money around like a drunken sailor. And during this whole affair, you know, he'll say, you know, oh, this is between the Australian Federal Police and the Queensland courts and da 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 da. The executive does not get involved, but yet his representative of the government of an executive agency intervenes and locks the guy up when he's been released on bail. So if this is the country of a so-called fair go, what is the fair go in? You've been accused of something. You have moved to a country with due process of law, you thought. You face your accuser. The representative of your accuser, this magistrate, decides that the case against you is so weak that they see no reason to hold you and are willing to release you on bail, and then suddenly, smack, in comes immigration and pulls you off to some hellhole out in the middle of the bush somewhere, a private jail where they keep children, mind you. And so then, given the option of staying there in a sandy hellhole or going home to your family, this guy picks up and says, I'm going back to India, where he can get camera time. This can't play out well. You know, even if he was guilty, this plays out badly. And it's been so painful not having the net over this. I'm just like screaming at the television because you hear just kind of the aside from the ABC, you hear the most stupid garbage. You know, the kind of forgot how bad it really was until it's all we had. Oh man. Ah, it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Anyway. All right, we're going to take a break here and come back. We're just kind of, you know, I don't know. Remember what it's like. It's been like 3 weeks since I've done a show. So anyway, you're listening to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this Hanif stuff. And I don't know. I have no idea. I just feel like I'm getting plugged back in, and finding my way all over again. So anyway, you're listening to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, and we'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. George W. Bush is churning out executive orders and presidential directives just as fast as Dick Cheney's lawyers can fill up their yellow legal pads. The power that he's grabbing imperils our liberties and mocks our democratic system of government. 2 weeks ago, Bush issued an extraordinary executive order entitled Blocking Property of Certain Persons Who Threaten Stabilization Efforts in Iraq. This one allows the Secretary of the Treasury to freeze the property of people who engage in violence or threaten to engage in violence against the Maliki government or who oppose violently Bush's economic plans for Iraq. It also, get this, bans donations of food, clothing, and medicine intended to be used to relieve human suffering to anyone whose property has been frozen. Well, on August 1st, Bush issued another executive order, this one entitled Blocking Property of Persons Undermining the Sovereignty of Lebanon or its Democratic Processes and Institutions. To do so, Bush first had to declare a national emergency. And this executive order is even more sweeping than the last. Where the one on Iraq was supposed to apply to people who engage in violent acts or pose a significant risk of engaging in violent acts, this one doesn't even bother to limit it to that. And it also gives the Treasury Secretary the authority to freeze the assets of a spouse or dependent child of any person whose property is already frozen. So they're going after wives and kids now. What's next? Impounding the family dog? We in Congress better call Bush out before it's too late. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
I can see your fortune, your fortune.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts. And see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick them in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Your life is my problem, your foot in my face.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. No, it's not a rerun anymore. It's me. I'm back. I'm actually live. I'm actually doing the show. Not exactly sure what the hell I'm doing today, but anyway, I'm finding my feet again. But it feels good. Feels good. I just still can't. I wish I could come up with words to describe having no internet access for 3 weeks. And, you know, I'd log on while I'm at work, you know, and stick one headphone in and sneak a listen in on the network, you know, and, you know, try and, yep, still going on, good. That's about as much as I could do. And You know, it I had a couple of desert island moments, you know, where it was just like, okay, you know. When it all falls apart, what's it going to be like? Well, it's going to be quiet. It's going to be quiet. It's one thing it's going to be. It's going to be quiet. To have something as crucial as what was a seemingly innocent man being used as a political shot in, you know, shot in the dark to try and utilize the fear factor, Roddy Rah. To only have the ABC, and thankfully, Carrie and the other guy on Late Line were just they could smell blood and went for it, and it was good to see. It was refreshing, and it was actually kind of a moment of the Fourth Estate saying, "Yo, you've gone too far. You have gone too far. Step back. You will not go there. Turn around. Step back, please." I do also think there was a really great post, and I believe it was at Serfdom. I think it just said, there are lawyers, then there are lawyers. And the attorney representing Mr. Haneef, this guy, this is the kind of guy you want. Now, the government lets out their little media leaks of information to try and slam this guy. And yet, if you read the full transcripts of these things that they are piecemealing out, you come to a very different conclusion. So, you know, the Australian Federal Police had to be where it came from. You know, piecemeal out to Murdoch, a Murdoch outlet. You know, this piecemeal stuff. And so the attorney, you know, says, you know, screw this. And so he just releases a lot of it. It was public domain anyway, when he got down to it technically. So he just said, okay, you want to judge it? Here's the whole thing. Gives it to a reporter to go through. Reporter's like, eh. Kind of comes out a little different here. And this guy stood there and just was like, nah, ain't gonna have it. Nah, not gonna have it. Not gonna play dead. Sorry. And you know, it's just kind of like, I'm not going to say boo. I'm not going to say boo. Haneef says he's going to fight for getting his visa back. He wants his name cleared. He wants his job back. Why would you want to come back if you've been through all of that? You know, would you really want to go back to a place that treated you that bad? But, you know, he got a big old hero's welcome when he went back to India. Just like this doesn't play well for Howard, regardless of how it worked out. You know, not going to be good. Not going to be good. and as the election that gets closer here, you see more and more signs of a government, you know, that's on the way out. It's been interesting the lengths that they will go to try and regain power, and you know, they're amazing. They their arrogance is starting to wear thin, it seems, in the media. They can't spin it anymore. And so you just kind of have this, you know, it's just kind of like falling away from them. And there's really not much that they can do. They just recently had a budget that just threw money out at people. No return. the economy has been rocking along, but then now all of a sudden there's a fear that for the first time interest rates could be ticked up a bit, and this has like always been their thing. So immediately, as soon as it looks like interest rates could go creep up here, they turn around and they have to say it's the state's fault. Now, for a government that for a decade has run completely on the economy and interest rates, the moment that this comes down, you do not get to say, but it was the states. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to say that. When you put that much weight behind the, but it's the economy. It's the economy. When the economy goes cough, you're the one who's what sees the doctor's holding. I mean, seriously. And so you're not allowed to go, but it's the states. Well, then you can't claim that. It doesn't work that way. You're not allowed. So, you know, they try this terrorism move, you know, which has well and truly backfired. I think it's a great thing. Every bloody poll that comes out shows Howard is just lagging behind, and I can't say from where, but I have reports on from good sources that tell me that. Let's have a conversation about Kevin Rudd. Okay, this is the guy who's leading the Labor Party over here, right? And I was pretty happy when he became the leader a few months back. Now, over the last couple of months, let's just say those of us that are a little bit more on the left have not been real happy with him. He's kind of backtracked on some things and softened on some things and become a little bit more like, you know, people have been referring to him as a young Johnny Howard. And it's just like, oh, no, 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 no. Now, I have it on good authority. Now, you see, unlike the United States, Australia has a very kind of structured election process. It's very short. The election's going to be called probably September. And then I think it runs for 3 months, and kabang, it's over. Now, I have it on good authority that technically, even, you know, even though it's been all in the media, you know, as though the they've started running already, that old Kevin Rudd has a few things to be pulling out of his hat yet. So, and that I should just hold judgment until the race actually officially starts. So I'm willing to do that. But at the moment, there's been a few things that have been, and, you know, like this Hanif thing, they kind of just backed off and let the government have their moment. And then once it became clear that it had fallen apart, then they start talking about, then they start asking questions. And it was only the Greens and the Democrats, the outside small parties that were screaming up and down kind of on the human rights level going, "Yo, boys, what are you doing?" And other than that, no one said boo. They just said, "Oh, well, you know, if it looks like a duck, then okay, fine." And that's kind of how they, you know, it was a way that they could kind of get out without getting, you know, they could get out smelling like a rose regardless of how it played. Which I guess you have to say is just smart politics. But it was one of those moments. It's like, oh, come on, there's a scoring opportunity here. Please, please, oh, please, 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 please. Oh, you know, neck. Oh, nice, white, shiny. Oh, I sharpened it just for today. Oh, you're not gonna. Damn. Ah. Oh. You know, I just, you know, so sometimes you just smell blood. You just smell blood. You got a bumper for that, Bob? You just smell blood. it could be interesting. It could be very interesting. And I hope it's true that what they said, that Rudd's going to come out and maybe distance himself from being this. Well, I'm, you know, like, you know, the Tony Blair New Labour kind of thing, you know, but here in Australia, that's what worries me a little bit. That concerns me. And because there's similarities there from what I've been seeing, you know, things like softening on the connection with the unions, that bugs me. I don't like that. I don't like a Labour Party ever trying to separate themselves from their union backing. I don't care what they have on film of one guy out on the field doing for one union. That, to me, means that something's wrong at the core of your party if you call yourself a Labour Party. It's just a really good friend of mine who was making the decision on whose party affiliation he was going to take, and he was taking it very seriously. Did some research on himself, and he figured that he'd come up somewhere, probably leaning towards the Greens, but Labour. And he found out some interesting things about himself. And first of all, he was really surprised to find out that he came down 100% coming in line with the Green, with the Greens Party, which really surprised him. And then it came Democrats, Labor, I think. And he went and had a read of the Democrats and found, he went, oh, I kind of, you know, they're talking about, like, you know, why government's supposed to be there. I think that should be part of what a party does. Reminds itself of why they're supposed to be there. That sounds like a good idea. And, see, I think there's a way that, you know, if the liberals really collapse in this country, and we're going to go to a break here in a second. If the liberals collapse and go end up into nowhere, like some political analysts have said, if they really take a whack in this next election and then take another whack in the states, that they could be out in the wilderness for the next, you know, decade or some such thing. The Democrats and the Greens could pop up and end up becoming maybe possibly the parties if the majors, you know, kind of disintegrate under their own, you know, maybe time for a generational shift. There you go. A generational change. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a break and then come back and wrap it up on this return. The gap is filled. Ugh, that sounds bad. Anyway, Bob says he's found a bumper. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I am John Fox, coming to you live from Sydney, Australia, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office 1-888-384-5249.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. Bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Oh, boy, it seems like ages since I did this, and it's like, wow. It's, oh, no. How disconnected can one feel? But anyway, we'll get back into the swing of this. And and I do see that Mr. Joe Vecchio will be live straight after me, so stick around for the Cup of Joe show coming up here on your Head On Radio Network. But anyway, I don't know. Programming notes. I have a backlog of Billy Shears stuff. When we're gonna get back? When we're gonna get to them? It'll be as soon as possible. Now, as far as me on air, it's all kind of come and go here for the next week. I'll be here most of this week, and then I sneak off. I've been coaxed out of Rock Pig retirement for a week, and I'm sneaking off to go do a little gig, and then I'll be back though, and I'll be back kind of like normal again. But anyway, tonight and Tuesday and Wednesday for sure, and then Thursday and Friday are kind of like who knows. But we'll get back to things being normal at some stage very, very soon. And I'm glad that Bob says that this new connection is showing signs of an improvement over the old one. I hope so. I hope it was worth all the waiting. And I really shouldn't. I really should make a clarification. That's not all completely to the provider's fault. Yeah, it was. It was, but it definitely was the long way around the block. And speaking of tech changes, Bob wanted to let you all know that actually the Horn Main Studios are making a change over to a new internet provider, And so there's going to be some repatching going on through the day and some, you know, swapping stuff over. So no Dr. Bill today. Dr. Bill will be, I guess, probably a replay from Ben. And so I would imagine that they'll be swapping things over and then be kind of like... you know, hoping to have Bob and Peter, Bob and Peter back on live tomorrow. But you know, if things go a little strange, well, there you go. They go a little strange sometimes. but it should all be much, 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 much cooler over there. Everyone's having a little bit of an upgrade situation. I know I did. Oh, so that's what broadband is. Oh, right. Oh, cool. You mean I can stream movies? Oh, my God. Oh, streaming movies. It's scary. That's just frightening. That you just shouldn't be able to have that power. It's like, do you have a credit card? No. And I won't admit to having one. It's so far it's been good. So, but anyway, remember, folks, that things will be in rerun mode, in replay mode, up until possibly Head On and possibly Strictly Confidential. So remember that. There you go. You have been told. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up and get ready to pass it on to Mr. Joe Vecchio. You've been listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. And thank you to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. If you haven't done so recently, go over there and drop a donation. Do the right thing. He works really hard, harder than any of us. That's for sure. And thanks to the Carpenters for everything they've done for the network. And I got to remember all this stuff again. Thanks to Scott Barry from B1 Ladder Productions. Thanks for the music. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a Shears tomorrow, one of the ones that we've got backed up. Who knows? So stick around. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. It's good to be back. Stick around. Joe Vecchio coming up right after. Stay here on Fox Up. Be good. Be green. See you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In the West Bank, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert are meeting today to discuss the resumption of U.S. brokered Middle East peace talks. It is the first time an Israeli Prime Minister has visited a Palestinian community in more than 7 years. In Camp David, Afghan President Hamid Karzai is wrapping up 2 days of discussions with President Bush. I told the press the U.S. is no closer to capturing chief terrorist Osama bin Laden than it was years ago. In Tal Afar, Iraq, a suicide bomber blew up his explosive-laden dump truck in a crowded Shia neighborhood today, killing as many as 30 and wounding another 50. More than half the victims were children. In Fort Campbell, Kentucky, a soldier convicted of raping and murdering a 14-year-old Iraqi girl last year was sentenced over the weekend to 110 years in prison. Three others in his squad are already serving prison terms for the premeditated attack. The soldiers raped the girl, then killed her and her family. Federal investigators say the Pentagon is unable to account for half of the weaponry allocated to Iraqi security forces in 2004 and 2005. Defense officials say their accounting office is understaffed, but concede some of the nearly 200,000 guns may have fallen into enemy hands. In Lebanon, the Syria-backed Christian Party narrowly edged out the Western-backed party in parliamentary elections today. Presidential elections are scheduled for next month. On Capitol Hill, the House Saturday approved a controversial energy package levying $16 billion in taxes on the oil industry. The measure also rewards companies for programs designed to provide alternative energy sources. In California, tough new regulations have been placed on some of the state's electronic voting equipment after a study revealed the machines are vulnerable.